Fargo, the new virtual assistant from Wells Fargo, makes banking faster and easier. Like this.
Fargo, what's my checking account routing number?
And this.
Fargo, turn off my debit card.
And this.
Fargo, what did I spend on groceries last month?
And that's just the beginning. Do you Fargo? You can. In the Wells Fargo mobile app. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/getfargo.
Terms and conditions apply. Your mobile carrier's availability and message and data rates may apply. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. member FDIC.
You don't put those inside of you, do you?
This is a show about women.
I mean, you do?
Yes. Finally, a show about women that isn't just a thinly veiled aspirational nightmare. It's not hosted, not narrated. We're just dropping into a woman's world.
I found out when my dad was gay when I was 10. We were in a convertible on the 405 freeway, listening to the B-52s. And looking back, I should have said, this is gay. This is already all gay.
Listen to Finally a Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
And we are so excited to have you hear the latest season of our nostalgia-themed podcast, How Did We Get Weird?
Not only do you get to know me and my brother, you get to know the stories that made us the absolutely rad people we are today.
Check out our episodes where we've welcomed hilarious guests like our friend Andy Samberg.
That's it! That's really it!
And Queen Casey Wilson.
I really went cart before the horse. I said, I think I have an opportunity to interview Leonardo DiCaprio. As a high school student.
And you do not want to miss out on our funny segments like Change.dork.
Change.dork.
And congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Listen to our podcast, How Did We Get Weird, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Shannon Doherty, host of the new podcast, Let's Be Clear with Shannon Doherty. So in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about marriage, divorce, my family, my career. I'm also going to be talking a lot about cancer, the ups and the downs, everything that I've learned from it. It's going to be a wild ride. So listen to Let's Be Clear with Shannon Doherty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Brain Stuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brain Stuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. Thanks to a murder in ancient Rome and a play written by William Shakespeare, people are still proclaiming, "Beware the Ides of March." This infamous day has become synonymous with betrayal, lost loyalty, and unwelcome surprises. So what is the Ides of March, and should it really make us wary? Ancient Romans, those clever folks known for aqueducts and amphitheaters, also had a hand in developing a predecessor to our modern calendar. The name they created for the first day of each month, calends, eventually led to the modern word, calendar. They also determined that one day each month would be known as Ides, a day that often corresponded with religious observances. According to their reckoning, the Ides fell on the 13th day of each month, with the exceptions of March, May, July, and October, when the Ides occurred on the 15th. But it was the Ides of March that became a real stickler. It presented a deadline on which citizens were expected to settle all of their debts. It became a day of celebration for those who received payment and a day of woe for those who paid. For many, it was probably a little of both. The concept of Ides was closely tied to the way people of ancient Rome tracked the passage of time. The Latin root of Ide means to divide, and in keeping with the sentiment, the Ides took place about midway through each month. The Ides also corresponded with the rise of the full moon. This worked well for as long as the lunar cycle and the calendar months matched up as expected. Eventually, however, a mismatch between the two was apparent. A solution was presented in about 45 BCE, when days were added or removed so that the calendar would stay in sync with astronomical seasons, such as solstices and equinoxes. The resulting Julian calendar was based on Earth's revolutions around the sun. It was a 365-day year divided into 12 months, with an additional day added every 4 years to resync the calendar, an event now known as a leap year. The Julian calendar was named posthumously for the military general and politician Julius Caesar, who had declared himself ruler of the Roman Republic back in 49 BCE. For the article this episode is based on, How Stuff Works spoke via email with Kellyanne Diamond, PhD, an assistant teaching professor at Villanova University. She said, what is interesting is that the change came about after Caesar had spent some time in Egypt, specifically in the city of Alexandria. The Egyptians had developed previously a calendar of 365 days. However, they did not add that extra day, so the Egyptian calendar drifted one day every 4 years. Through ancient writings, including those of the philosopher Plutarch, it was recorded that Caesar sought help from expert mathematicians, including in Alexandria, in adjusting the calendar. And Diamond said, this is important to note because ancient Egypt does not always receive the credit it deserves as part of the foundation of Western culture. Usually, the story begins and ends with Julius Caesar, and relegated to the footnotes is the fact that the Egyptians were technologically savvy and passed on their wisdom to the Roman world. For a time, this Julian calendar seemed to propose an ideal solution, until people realized that an extra day every 4 years was too many, and a modified Gregorian calendar was developed in 1582. The Gregorian calendar is now used as the official civilian time tracker in most parts of the world. Even so, the Ides of March from the Julian calendar is still part of our collective consciousness, thanks in large part to Caesar's untimely death and the Shakespeare play that immortalized it. Okay, in 44 BCE, about 5 years into Julius Caesar's rule of Rome, things seemed to be going well. He had a number of military victories under his belt after taking over parts of what's now Belgium, France, Germany, Spain, and Switzerland, and he was generally quite popular among his constituents. Caesar had appointed several political leaders that comprised Rome's Senate, but tensions were building. Members of the Senate worried that Caesar's mounting popularity and his recent self-appointment as dictator in perpetuity would lead to a disastrous political outcome for Rome. Some senators feared Caesar would disband the Senate and rule of his own accord without their input. The brewing opposition to Caesar's rule came to a head on the Ides of March, March 15th, in 44 BCE, when about 40 Roman senators stabbed Caesar to death as the group was on its way to a sporting event at the Theater of Pompeii in Rome. The conspiracy, led by Gaius Cassius Longinus and Marcus Junius Brutus, was kept under wraps by the dozens of senators involved. How Stuff Works also spoke via email with Kate Wiswell, historical hobbyist and author. She said, Julius Caesar managed to anger enough people that he was taken out by his own Senate for the greater good. Sadly, his removal did not usher in the revolution people had hoped for, because they fought so much about how to replace him that they ended up with yet another empirical Caesar just like him. After a period of public outrage and a series of civil wars, Caesar's nephew, Octavian, began calling himself Caesar Augustus and claimed rule of what would become the Roman Empire, ending ancient Rome's brush with a government ruled by representatives of the people. But fast forward to the turn of the 1600s CE. Throughout the Renaissance, there had been a renewed interest in cultural touchstones of the past as a way to help society move forward. This included an interest in, for example, the historical events of ancient Rome. Back in the 1300s, Dante had written Brutus and Cassius into the deepest part of the deepest circle of hell in his work Inferno. It's no surprise that Shakespeare chose this richly metaphored and richly biographied story as the basis of a play. Julius Caesar was probably the first play performed upon the grand opening of the New Globe Theater in 1599, and it was actually just one of four plays about Caesar from that decade that have survived. But the ethical questions that Shakespeare's play raises have helped it survive across centuries, and with it, the line, "Beware the Ides of March," spoken to Caesar by a soothsayer, a predictor of the future, whom Caesar promptly ignores. So that's where the phrase comes from, and why you probably don't need to beware of March 15th. Unless you're getting a little overly ambitious there? If so, might want to check that. Today's episode is based on the article No Need to Beware the Ides of March, Actually, on HowStuffWorks.com, written by L'Oreal Dove. Brainstuff is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with HowStuffWorks.com and is produced by Tyler Klang. or more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Fargo, the new virtual assistant from Wells Fargo, makes banking faster and easier. Like this.
Fargo, what's my checking account routing number?
And this.
Fargo, turn off my debit card.
And this.
Fargo, what did I spend on groceries last month?
And that's just the beginning. Do you Fargo? You can. In the Wells Fargo mobile app. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/getfargo.
Terms and conditions apply. Your mobile carrier's availability and message and data rates may apply. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. member FDIC.
You don't put those inside of you, do you?
This is a show about women.
I mean, you do?
Yes. Finally, a show about women that isn't just a thinly veiled aspirational nightmare. It's not hosted, not narrated. We're just dropping into a woman's world.
I found out when my dad was gay when I was 10. We were in a convertible on the 405 freeway, listening to the B-52s. And looking back, I should have said, this is gay. This is already all gay.
Listen to Finally a Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
And we are so excited to have you hear the latest season of our nostalgia-themed podcast, How Did We Get Weird?
Not only do you get to know me and my brother, you get to know the stories that made us the absolutely rad people we are today. Like you, Jonah, who's a music person and also a mental health counselor.
And you, Vanessa, who is an actress, comedian, and I think you even wrote a children's book. Wow.
I sure did.
Check out our episodes where we've welcomed hilarious guests like our friend Andy Samberg.
That's it. That's really it.
And Queen Casey Wilson.
I really went cart before the horse. I said, I think I have an opportunity to interview Leonardo DiCaprio. As a high school student.
Plus legendary sisters Amber Ruffin and Lacey Lamar.
You would pull the bag out and then we would eat all the leftover chocolate chips, which was a lot. Then you'd roll the barrel up the hill. And then one of us would get inside the barrel and they'd push you down.
And we've also had an amazing guest like Mike the Miz, Jason Isbell, Carrie Brownstein and Corin Tucker of Slater Kinney, and many more. And you do not want to miss out on our funny segments like Change.Dork.
Change.Dork.
And congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Listen to our podcast, How Did We Get Weird, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Shannon Doherty, host of the new podcast, Let's Be Clear with Shannon Doherty. So in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about marriage, divorce, my family, my career. I'm also going to be talking a lot about cancer, the ups and the downs, everything that I've learned from it. It's going to be a wild ride. So listen to Let's Be Clear with Shannon Doherty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.